Welcome to Two Nerds and an Actor, the entertainment podcast for the nerd adjacent to the nerd aficionado, where we give you bi-weekly reviews on a popular TV show and movie, telling you in hilarious fashion what to watch and why. I'm here with my nerdy ones, Mike Santana.
Nerdy one. Trying to get the reference.
It's The Matrix.
It's Matrix.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm in the back of a coffee shop. I'm working on a manuscript.
Franz Jerome.
My name's Daffy. Like a duck.
Uh-huh. And I am Tiffany, your host. You get it? Tiffany? Franz gets it. If you don't know, from their disdain that you can hear and from their faces, we're going to be talking about The Matrix 4 and our finale episode 13 of season 5 finale. It's a strange number to end on, I'll be honest.
Why?
I love odd numbers.
He likes odd numbers because it's a bad luck number.
No, it's not. It's one extra monkey.
Boom. Shout out Brad Pitt.
I like that idea.
I'm not shouting out Brad Pitt.
Shout out Bruce Willis.
Brad Pitt? Yeah, okay. Problematic? Why? Because he has a lot of kids? Is this a nerdy leak?
Random.
This is
the haunted, cursed episode of Two Nerds and an Actor.
Yeah, this is the one because I started, if anyone's looking at this episode, I am holding a mic because our very expensive Shure mic broke. Okay, let me be clear. It didn't like break. We got the protection on it. You know what I mean? We're not stupid, but you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. I'm holding a microphone. We were supposed to start like an hour ago. It's just, anyway, it's going to be a great episode. We're talking about Wheel of Time. We're talking about Matrix 4. We're going to do trailers for Fantastic Beasts. All of that didn't sound very exciting, but it's going to be.
I was like, you're just lining them up. Jesus.
It's going to be a great episode. Hey, The Boys season 3. How about that?
Yes. Boom. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Which comes out in June.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into some nerdy leaks.
Hey, pick up Spider-Man.
Do the sound, Daryl. Okay, so before we get started, I feel like we always do this. We end up like starting on like a somber note these days. But the great Sidney Poitier actually passed away. Was it today? I think it was yesterday. It might have been today.
It was this morning that they
announced today.
But he was 94. If you don't know Sidney Poitier, he's like a famous actor, activist, amazing, just overall human being.
First black man to win an Oscar.
Yes. Just an amazing human being. 94, lived a phenomenal life, but will definitely be missed. Him and that whole age of people, you know, like Paul Robeson and everyone, is like, they paved the way for so many people, and not just like actors. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just changed mindsets from just like the way they act, the things they did. And it's hard to believe we're losing a lot of them. So rest in power, Sydney.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah. Hasn't have a great one. In other news, we do have some casting news that I don't know if this is exciting or just like meh, but apparently they're making a Wicked movie, the musical Wicked, and they're making a movie. I guess this was announced like a really long time ago, and I don't know. I never heard it. I don't follow musical news, but
the news to Aisha section of the news.
The news to me. No, but they did just announce the cast. That was just announced, I think, like today or something like that. They are Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo going to play the two main characters. So Alphaba and Glinda.
Glinda.
Yeah. I imagine that Cynthia Erivo is playing Alphaba, which I feel might make people feel certain ways about she's going to be the green villain.
But she's green. She's not black. It's okay.
Okay.
We'll see.
If you've ever seen Wicked, the character who's like super evil and basically, I want to say, seduces Alphaba's mom is the wizard who's like this evil, evil dude. And that's why Alphaba's green, because he was like this green, awful man. And I'm like, this does not. And then he, you know, disappears because he's like absent father, I guess.
To a black
green
witch.
She's green.
She's a black green witch.
So we'll see how that goes. I mean, they both black have great voices, so I'm sure that's why they were cast. I'm sure they're gonna have hilarious chemistry. I'll watch it. I don't know.
I never saw Wicked. I don't know if I'll watch this movie, but
I. Okay. I like Wicked because I saw it in the theater. If I saw it as a movie, I can't say if I'd be like, oh my God. You know, like people can be like, well, if you saw it in the theater, you would know. Like, I don't know if that's right. What's going to happen. We'll see. Okay. But yeah, coming out. I don't know when it comes out, actually.
Me neither. There's still some, I don't know if they started production yet.
Right. And with the.
Mike, watch. You're going to see. Your niece is gonna watch that, and that's how you're gonna end up seeing it.
Is gonna watch what?
Wicked? You gonna watch this Wicked movie? Watch.
No, she
watch.
Won't.
Nah. Watch.
Her taste and sensibilities have changed. I babysat them last week, and we watched the Resident Evil Netflix.
And then we
watched Quiet Place 2, and I was like, yeah, she's past Wicked, bro. She's not. She don't care about musicals. She don't care about cute.
Oh my word!
She's into horror, and she's working on a trailer. She makes movie trailers for A Quiet Place 3.
Stop the madness!
Mm-hmm. So Wicked, yeah. Ariana Grande, she don't give a fuck.
That is.
Is Ariana Grande
phenomenal.
Getting stabbed in this movie? No,
actually, no.
Yeah, so she don't give a fuck.
So she loves horror like the rest of us?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited.
Yeah, she likes horror.
Loves the horror. Rest is me.
Right.
I'm going to get a George Romero tattoo. Watch.
Oh, my God. That's very exciting.
I want to watch. Yeah, the next time I'm with her, I'm going to watch Train to Busan with her. Sober.
Wait, how old is she now?
She's 11, but she's 11 going on, you know, freaking 19.
That sounds right. That sounds right to me. All right. Our next piece of news is also very exciting. Scott Pilgrim is being made into an anime?
Yeah, it's getting picked up on Netflix. And creator of Scott Pilgrim, Brian Lee O'Malley, will be co-writing. So it's looking like...
About fucking time. Good. Yeah, it's absolutely about fucking time that they animate this comic that's modeled after a manga that aesthetically looks like it wants to be an anime. Like, what the fuck?
Legit.
Like, aesthetically, the most faithful adaptation of this great piece of literature was the video game.
Yeah.
Right? Because it had that 8-bit throwback. But, you know, it finally animated visually the characters from the original. Peace. Yeah. So
wait, are you semi shitting on the movie right now?
No, the movie and the source material are they were never like closely related, to be honest.
They're very different
and the way that's one of the better adaptations of an original piece, because it's not the same, but it captures the heart of it. But they didn't try to emulate the aesthetics. They just had fun with it. And they, you know, they did a zany, their own take with it. Especially with, you know, they incorporated music in a way that you don't get. But it's talked about a lot in the original. I loved it too. But
yeah.
But this has been screaming to be made into an anime since he ever dropped it. So I'm glad they
finally. It's going to be dope.
did it.
We're definitely going to get some of those flashbacks of stuff that Scott references in the movie.
Maybe.
Like fighting for Kim, like how you fought for Kim. Like there's some things that probably will get fleshed out. Mm-hmm.
I love the video game. That was so fun. Wait, so where is it coming out on?
Netflix.
I mean, Netflix
they've been doing the anime thing.
I was going to say. I mean, if you said it was coming out on like Hulu, I'd be like, oh, because I feel like Hulu is taking all the animes, but Netflix is. Yeah, Netflix is.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Netflix be making Jones. Hulu be like licensing.
That's true. That's true. When does it come out?
It's not in production. It's like it's assumed to be in production.
Just announced. Well, we will be looking out for that. I hope nothing is delayed because it feels like, you know, we're in this third year of the pandemic and it kind of feels like the first year, which is out of control. Yep. So hopefully
2020.1, some shit like that.
See, that's not how I wanted to start it out. I was like, 2022 is going to be a real year because it was like the blip year of 2020. And then there was like the devastation of 2021. And then 2022, I was going to be like, this is a year where we live life.
Yeah, but see, the thing about you calling it a blip year, if you're making an MCU reference, that blip was 5 motherfucking years.
You are not wrong. You are not wrong.
Yeah, you know, here's hoping it ain't 5 years.
Yes, here is the hoping.
That marching band's gonna be right there when you get back.
Oh my god. I like to watch that scene just over and over again of Spider-Man. When
I can't wait
until
we get to the part where we have to get vaccinated against the vaccine.
I can't wait to the part where I get my superpowers from the vaccine. That's what I'm waiting for. All right. Segue.
Yeah. Speaking of superpowers, we're not going to mention Betty White passing away, too.
Oh, my God. You're so right. Oh, my God. Yes. Betty White, who was like 99, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was about to hit the 100. Actually, although people say you should just say she 100, like give her that one.
Right. Well, wasn't her birthday like coming up or something like that?
Yeah. It was the day after or something like that.
No. It's like January 14th or 17th or something.
Yeah.
Like that. It was a special that was going to come out with people.
She got MLK birthday? Yo.
Oh my gosh.
About to have something. It's in January, but it wasn't like right after. It's like a couple weeks.
It's so sad because every time I would see Betty White, I'd be like, yo, she's going to live forever. You know what I mean? It just felt like that. And she's looked the same forever, you know, like Morgan Freeman. Knock on wood, let me not.
Yeah. But let's hope this year does turn out better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never too soon when it comes to memes. My favorite Betty White passing on rep meme was like Goku about to blow up Cell. You know, and Goku. And so Goku, over Goku, you see, it says Betty White. And over Cell, you see, it says 2020 through 2021, you know, like to try to end this shit. And we know how that turns out.
Well, yeah. With all these amazing people looking down on us, I feel like we got some good angel juju that's gonna help. Yeah, no?
Yeah, yes, but
maybe so.
Yeah, but I don't know. God benching too many starters, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh. Sorry, my microphone.
We got a lot of talent out there, like
we do. That's facts. All right, talking about, you know, the year ending, New Year's coming. Let's do some shout outs. What is our shout out music?
The BSG. This goes out to you and you.
Right. Okay. I don't have specific people to shout out, but I do want to shout out everyone who has stuck with us through 2021 because I feel like it's been a rough year for us just recording. Like, it's just been tough. Doing anything consistently, I think, has been tough for the past few years for everyone. So I'm one proud of ourselves for still doing it. And I'm very, very proud of our listeners who have stuck through and continued to either download or comment. And, you know, always the good ones, Kat Ramos, you know, Al and Christian and all those people out there who continue to listen. Thank you.
Cortez, over the year, he listened to the entire, what will be now 98 episodes of our run. He's listening.
He did a retrospective.
He did.
I cannot believe that.
If we needed like a historian on the show right now, he would be the de facto historian.
I want to just know how we've evolved, like in someone else's eyes.
We should ask him.
Yeah.
He's literally binge watched us.
That's OD.
Audibly.
That just makes me so happy. Although I would believe it that Kat Ramos probably rewatches episodes. I would believe that.
No pressure if you haven't, Kat.
Yeah, of course. No pressure.
Don't feel obligated to have to do that.
To go back. And we have some really big things coming up for 2022. I'm still not clear if we are allowed to announce them yet. But.
Well, if you're not clear and you're the one that announces it to us, then maybe we shouldn't.
No, I'm not going to. But we will have some new offshoots coming, some more video stuff, and hopefully guests on the show next year. So everyone who's still listening, tell more people it's about to get like 2022 Two Nerds and Actor Plus Ultra.
Where can our future guests, potential guests, send their bribes?
Yeah.
Where can they send their bribes?
I mean, you can send it to my house.
Yo,
I'm trying to give you the alley-oop to talk about the donate link.
Oh, right. You can send them to
your house? The fuck?
No, I mean, sure. No. But if you do want to become one of those people we shout out all the time on this podcast, potentially, you can donate. Just go to our website, twonerdsandactor.com. And that's the number 2 because we got our domain back. Yay! twonerdsandactor.com. And you can find all the ways you can donate, like, share, subscribe. And if you are someone like Simone who donates monthly, you can do that. You can give $1 a month. You can give $5 a month. You can give $2 a month, whichever, because this podcast does have monthly costs. That is facts. So donate. And if you are a blogger or someone like that, please write a review, write an article about us. If you think you're funny, just do it. Write like a little blurb. I don't know. Let us know you've done it and then we can share it, do all those things. And also, of course, rate, subscribe, comment, and we will shout you out.
I dare you to roast me.
Would we shout out someone who roasted? Like,
I mean, I would.
So this person said, forget these people. They freaking suck. Shout out to you.
It takes energy to be a troll. It takes energy to be a troll.
You do have to type a lot. But yeah, check us out. 2022. Like, share, subscribe. Do all the things. Let's get into our no spoilers review. Oh, yeah. Keep that shit a secret, man. That's the one.
Yes.
Why are you thinking about this?
Because it's fun. It's fun to think about. I'm like, retrospective. We, you know, upped our game. We have real sounds. Stuff like that.
We have real sounds.
Yeah. Remember before when it was just Mike being sounds. Like.
Nah, next season I want drops. I want to do those joints.
We've been talking about drops.
Dingo and the baby.
Since season one.
Those facts.
They will happen.
They will. Okay, we are getting to our no spoilers review of The Matrix 4 and Wheel of Time. Okay. Yes. So if you haven't seen them, you can obviously keep listening. If you have seen them, I mean, keep listening if you want, or you can, you know, skip ahead to the spoilers review. But hey, we say funny things, so listen.
And we also give you a guide to share what you saw with your friends and loved ones. Who haven't seen it
without spoilers. There we go.
Verbatim.
It's a service we provide for you.
Yeah.
The people.
That's facts. All right. For The Matrix 4.
Oh, we're going there first. Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't think I could go second because by the time I'd be like, anyway. Okay. So for The Matrix 4, my question is, what does, and in my notes, I put M4, because that's how I feel about it. offer that the other ones don't offer.
Oh my God. Yo, you. Ooh.
I just like, first of all, for anyone who's just listening, Mike's face of complete despair
is magical. Despair. Matrix 4 magical. Offers people the opportunity to have more time with Matrix-related things.
He's like, adjective, verb, noun. That's,
I mean, what Matrix I got 4 one.
Gives you, I cannot say it gives you more Matrix, because that statement, based on what you'll see in the spoiler section, for right. me would be duplicitous.
Disingenuous
and duplicitous. But it does give you more time with Matrix-related content.
That, honestly, very
in
true.
In official capacity.
Yeah.
I got this one. You know what it gives you? No, it's what actually does give you is, particularly if you are new to the Matrix at all, it gives you the perfect springboard to go back and be like, what the hell does any of this mean? I'm kind of interested, because you get kind of interested in it because it's messing with some really high things, but you'll spend the entire time very confused. So it's like, it gives it, what only thing that it offers is an in for new viewers to want to spend the time to go back and watch a 20-year-old special effects driven movie.
I have to push back is not the right word, but I have to interject. This being a Warner Brothers property, I'm thinking with my Acme brain, what you call a springboard, I'm calling like
an anvil tied to a balloon.
Yeah, I'm calling it like an Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, where you have no choice but to run towards what this movie is contractually and license-wise related to.
I agree.
It's not a springboard. It's a false wall. It's a drawing of a tunnel.
I see both sides. So I see what Franz is saying, where it's like, if you aren't totally ingrained in the first three, this one will make you be like, yo, I need to go back and see what happened. But also, it is like being in the trash compactor in Star Wars, where there's like nothing you can do about what's happening around you. And you feel like you're going to be smushed. And you're like, why did we go down this route? Like, there's other escape routes. Yeah.
So don't get smushed, not in a good way.
Yeah.
No, not in a good way.
I feel like that means we didn't enjoy it. Is that fair?
That would be a gross understatement for me.
Oh my gosh. In the movie theater, can I just say, France, like, so we saw it with my sister and like my whole family, because it's like we always go to a movie on the holidays, and it was The Matrix 4. Just like last year, it was Wonder Woman. It's a bad situation.
Do you guys only choose movies that are borderline hate crimes to watch as a family in the theater?
It seems like torture now. Like, we've decided to torture ourselves. It was bad. Okay, we went to Spider-Man to be like, we got to do something better. So
offset this shit.
We're sitting there, and my sister's on my side, and she's feeling great. I'll just say that her cup was full, and then like
runneth over.
France is on the other side, so me and my sister are just like ha ha ha, kikiing about things, and then being like, "What the fuck is going on?" And then like she keeps talking, I keep being like, "Oh man," she keeps talking like, "I can't follow," and then I realize it wasn't her fault that I just couldn't follow. And then France's face looks like he wants to light a match to the entire movie theater. Like, so ingrained that I'm trying to tap him on the shoulder to be like, can I get some more popcorn? And he's just like, mad face. And then he like springs out of it. And I'm like, popcorn?
No, I could see France interpreting this movie as like, like anti-religious propaganda against his deeply held beliefs.
Facts. They knew what he loved, and they were like, "How do we burn it?"
No, not how we burn it. How do we burn it in like effigy? How do we
how do we make fun of it?
Fire offensive,
right?
Not just dangerous,
and then parade that joint.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Like it's ooh, called man. The Matrix.
It is.
This movie is called. All you got. It has the Matrix in its title.
It does reference the Matrix. Heavy.
I believe that actors in this movie genuinely were excited to be associated with the Matrix.
Of course.
As
you get a Matrix
franchise.
Script, you're going to be like, yeah.
Right. I'm certain that they were excited about this. I do not believe that the people that made this movie did so with anything less than the intent to do no harm to the works that preceded it. But with all that said, I can't take credit for this. I just saw it on Twitter. It's not my original thought. This movie felt like I was watching the pitch for Matrix 4. The movie felt like a commercial. For not a trailer, it felt like a airplane advertisement commercial, a safe advertisement that could play like during The View for The Matrix 4. That's what this
during
felt
the
like.
View.
That's what this felt like.
I mean, okay. Well, on that note, what are we rating this?
Oh, we're just going straight to rating. It's already dead. We don't want us to keep beating it because I can.
I mean, we have more to talk about in the spoilers,
right. What are we giving this? And Aisha, what are we using to measure what we give this?
Oh, God.
That's not a spoiler.
Oh, that's not a spoiler. What in the world?
MacGuffins or Deus Exes.
Deus Exes.
Machinas.
But those words belie or insinuate depth.
My man's spitting now.
It's hard.
The Matrix used to be a rabbit hole. This shit is barely a divot.
Yeah.
This is a golf. This is where the golf ball falls into in the hole. It's like, wow, shallow.
No, I said a divot. That's even divot. Shallower than
that's
a
when
golf
you just
ball.
Like hit the grass a little bit.
No, that's the little dents in the golf ball.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
But like only one or two, not that many.
I mean, sorry. I don't even know. All I can think is like how many robots because what is the Matrix? You know what I mean?
That used to be a worthwhile question.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be. It used to be a website. Like, a worthwhile website.
Like the Matrix is part of our lexicon. It's right.
Let's give it.
People know what it is, even if they never fucking saw the movies. That's why I find it funny. Like you guys were saying, oh, if you don't know what it is, this gives you incentive to go back and find out. I feel like people, it's so ingrained into our fucking fabric of pop culture that it's like even people on like really conservative political people use terms like red pill.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? If they're using pop culture references like that, then this shit is part of the fabric, so...
Okay. I got two.
Okay. I'll push back later. No, disagree, but I'll push back in the spoiler.
All right, okay. I got two that we could choose from. You can either choose how many blue pills do you give it, because there was like a million blue pills, or how many pitch meetings.
I like that. See, I like how you set that up.
Yeah. Blue pill or pitch meeting? Okay. All right. How many pitch meetings do you give it out of 10? Oh, 10
pitch
meetings.
No. I give it 4 blue pill or pitch meetings.
Oh, okay. Out of 10. You choose. Got it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I give it a 3. Three pitch meetings or 2.5-3 blue pills.
I agree with that.
I endured this movie. I did not enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would give it the same. I would like, 4 pitch meetings and half a blue pill. No, 3 pitch meetings and half a blue pill. That's what I would do. And then call me in the morning.
Or don't.
Oh, yeah, or don't. Decide on your own.
I like this.
This is the sassy review of Matrix Resurrections.
All right, let's get into some Wheel of Time. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this one feels a little better.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question for Wheel of Time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So Wheel of Time, I think a lot of people have been describing it as like a mashup of a bunch of shows. So do you agree? And does that lessen the quality? And then last question, what shows is it a mashup of?
If we agree.
If we agree, yeah.
I definitely agree that it is. It's a dash of Lord of the Rings with the idea of the Fellowship. Salt-based sprinkle of, the Fellowship moving through. It definitely gave me a little bit of, once you get past the initial, world building storytelling, when you get into the politics, it goes, get a little Game of Thronesy on you. Then there's a little ethical quandaries about the uses of magic. And then there's like a Witcher type feel around when is this? What's time?
Yeah.
Who is time? So there's a couple things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree that it is a mashup because like every minute that I was watching, I'm like, oh, okay, Game of Thrones, there's some sort of house. Got it. Or like bending from Avatar. That definitely happened a lot. Or I was like, okay, Harry Potter. Like, you know, that's how I felt. I'm not going to say anything because it'll be spoilers. I feel like write that one down for a title. Anyway. So I think it was definitely a mashup. My question about does it lessen the quality? I don't know if the mashup is what lessens the quality, but I don't think that it is as good as all of those other shows that it's a mashup of. I'll say but it doesn't make it not enjoyable.
I agree that it feels like a mashup, but to be fair, the source material, from what I understand, preceded some of the other things that you mentioned.
Talking about the books, right?
Yeah. So to be fair, I mean, I can't say that it takes away from this because it reminds me of other things that came after it. I don't think that's fair.
True. Facts.
But
facts.
I would add one other thing that this seems to be a mashup of. And I want to be clear. I am not personally familiar with the Wheel of Time books. I've never read them.
Same.
But after my initial, we'll get to later. After my initial impression of this first season, and talking with Al about it and how we felt about it, I did a little bit of research to just gauge how fans of the books, how that community was reacting to the show.
What did they say?
Well, I'm saying we'll get to that. But
oh, okay, gotcha.
The other thing I wanted to add was that the show clearly is pushing that kind of, I'll call it the awkward MCU, like feminism and representation. Mm. Those moments that we've pointed at where they push certain left agendas like in a way.
So you
that
felt like they were
cringe.
Pushing it on, or do you think
absolutely.
They did it naturally?
They were absolutely pushing it on at the cost of drastic changes to the book. The book's own efforts and history of already having a pretty progressive representation for people, especially men and women. And then also just plot wise, I felt like the plot with the finale was very diluted because there was certain decisions that characters were making just to set up more moments where you're like, yes, queen, and you're a stupid man or a distrustful man. It felt forced. I was like, if you just had them making decisions that were consistent with what they were doing earlier in the episodes, I was like, we would have came to those conclusions ourselves without you having to have characters do really stupid things that made no sense.
So I never actually thought of it as being forced. Like, maybe it's just because the style of the whole show itself lent it to, like, a more, I don't know, just surface level storyline kind of thing. But maybe that's because I have seen Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and before. Maybe that's me putting it on it. But I didn't think of it as forced because I'd seen so many things be forced before that. I'm like, oh, this is just a story. Like, I just took it for what it was and was like, okay, whatever. But now you say it, like, I can see that. I can see how it feels a little like laying it on thick.
I didn't really get that it was laid on thick as much as because I don't know where the story goes.
Right.
And it seems like there are aspects of the story that undermine that, like anti-male rhetoric. Like there, I feel like I'm sensing storylines that move away or push back against that because they gave us that, like in the opening of the movie, in the opening of the show.
Right. Well, I guess we can talk more about it in the spoilé because I have a couple scenes in my head that I can.
I like the show overall. Like, I like it enough to want to watch more, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where it does what it does.
It's, you know, it's definitely, there's a lot of money on the screen, but it's not always evenly distributed. you know what I mean? Facts. Like, some costumes and things look very intricate and interesting and all that stuff.
And then some of them look like they're from H&M.
Yeah, then some of them just look not that good. And some CGI moments look really good and some others just look rushed and, you know. The acting is a little uneven. Sometimes the lines are better than their delivery. Sometimes the delivery are better than the lines. So it's like, this is not Game of Thrones level of production.
Yeah.
It's not Westworld level of production.
Well, exactly. Honestly, I feel
it's okay. It's serviceable, I thought.
This is like classic pilot season. Do you know what I mean? So like,
but high budget though.
High budget, of course, really, because I think budget. the books are well known, so they gave it money. But you know, there's that thing.
Amazon, but
what I'm saying is, season two, they're probably going to be like, okay, people really liked it. Here's more money. Here's all the money. Do the things. You know what I mean? I mean, let's see if it happens.
I was gonna say, like, know? It's happening, but the people really liked it. It's kind of.
I mean, like, people like what you said.
It's very close.
The acting, turned people off a lot. I know a few people who were like, I don't know if I can get past that. But I mean, people don't have the Game of Thrones anymore. Although fans who like Witcher, some fans who like Witcher have been like, I don't want to watch that because I'm a big Witcher fan and this is not as good as Witcher.
I'll say that without spoiling that this story, because the story has been around for a long time, is another Child of Destiny type story. Mm-hmm. And that has been the dividing factor for a lot of the audience that I recognize. Like, you know, on Twitter, folks are like, yo, this is cool, but The Witcher is really the last time I ever want to see a Child of Destiny story because they're doing it so well. It's like so dynamic in Witcher.
Right.
So there's been that kind of give and take.
Yeah. I mean, as far as what I saw, but on Twitter as well, it's like fans of the books of Wheel of Time, there were so many changes, especially in the finale, that a lot of the hardcore YouTubers and whatever from the Wheel of Time, even before the show, they're like, this is Wheel of Time in name only. That's how drastic the changes were. And for fans of like Game of Thrones, it's like, you know, it got to a point where the books and the narrative of the TV show deviated. And then just because there are no more books or there, you know, has not finished, the trajectory where the show went, I think overall most people were dissatisfied with it.
Mm-hmm.
For Wheel of Time folks, where the whole story is already written
from the beginning.
Yeah, they're just the majority of what I saw was very passionately dissatisfied with the amount of changes that were made, like major changes.
Everything just needs a Brotherhood version. That's what we're saying.
Like Full Metal
Alchemist.
You're
going to do it again, but like Brotherhood it. That's what you're going to do.
But see, Brotherhood and Fullmetal Alchemist are like
sisterhood.
Yeah, they're yeah. This one's more like a cousinhood. Sisterhood, like that's how that's far. Like,
no, I'm saying everything second cousinhood.
Needs, but no, I'm saying that's how much changes it would one. Need. It can't be a brotherhood.
It wouldn't even be brotherhood. I get you.
No, nah, it'd be like second cousinhood, according right. to what people are saying.
It'd be like acquaintancehood.
Yeah,
this neighbors. Is somebody I used to know.
Neighborhood.
Got it. Yeah, that makes more sense.
The Wheel of Time neighborhood.
The Wheel of Time neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Sesame Street
beautiful
or something.
Beautiful day in the Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
The Wheel of Time.
All right. And then let's... Oh, wait. Should people watch it? Is that what people should do?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you did, if you crave any right. aspect of the shows that Aisha and France mentioned...
Right. Or fantasy.
Those know. Aren't really out there right now. Facts. So
there,
so yes,
there are some fantastic moments throughout.
Yeah,
you know, you give enough money, enough talent.
Yeah.
Eventually something good's gonna happen. There's a couple of moments sure. that shine, and absolutely. Like that's cool.
Right,
that's cool.
Right,
whatever.
Yeah, and the world building mm-hmm. and like the magic system and stuff like that, they're interesting.
Yeah,
and they might be interesting enough for you to want to learn more about it. So
facts. Right. Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take a break. People should go make snow angels. Even if you're not in a snowy area, like just go outside in the dirt.
Shout out to the homies in Arizona.
Hope everyone enjoyed their snowy or dirt adventure, whichever one. It's an adventure. You want to know you made a snow angel or a dirt angel? Mud angel? I don't know.
You did that.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. We are going to do our question segment, which, do you guys know we named it your...
We did.
Apparently. I don't think that's what we landed on, but that's what's there.
Taken or too difficult to say?
Nerd what?
Nerd like, query?
Query?
Like mixing query with the word
with
nerd?
Nerd yeah. query? That's fun. I like that.
It's
2022.
It's
look out for
taken.
New segment.
It's
nerd query.
Be.
I mean,
there's
it might
an LGBTQ
be.
Nerd podcast that already says nerd query.
Oh my God,
sure.
That's so cute.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I would love that.
And
actually.
If they don't, then fuck you. We got it first.
Yeah, it belongs to us, incorporated. No.
You
trademarked. No. All right, so question this time is apparently there has been an, I don't know, what do you call it? A development in the, what is it? Of madness. The multiverse of madness.
Yeah.
Where the character who we believe would be Shuma Garoth, the big tentacle thing we saw in the trailer with the eye in the middle, is actually going to be named Gargantos. Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
you are.
Gargantos. No.
I love that show.
Can you tell me what this is? They're saying that it was like some type of like what copyright or name mix up or something, but Gargantos is an actual character, yeah?
Yes.
So what's the difference between the two?
Between Shumagoroth and Gargantos?
Yeah, and what would be the difference for the movie if it was one or the other?
All right, so I'm assuming you're talking about the leaked Lego playset for
yeah.
the upcoming Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness movie.
Yeah.
It features, like many Lego sets related to MCU movies, properties... like a moment from the film.
Right.
And that moment is when this one-eyed tentacle creature, like Aisha described him, is fighting the heroes or whatever in the streets. And in the trailer, which we talked about, you can see that creature prominently featured. Doctor Strange makes like a a blade saw out of his mystic orangey room
right.
magic hand things and slices through a bus that was thrown at him. It's pretty cool. And we thought it was Shuma-Gorath, and we thought it was related to the What If series on Disney Plus's numerous times that they would show dimensional portals, alternate universe, multiverse portals opening, and a tentacled creature's tentacles coming through and, you know, giving our heroes problems. We assumed that that was Shuma-Gorath, but apparently, mm-hmm. according to this Lego set, that's a character named Gargantos, which appeared in the Marvel comics decades and decades ago. I think he's like a sea creature or something like that. He looks very similar to Shuma-Gorath, but is not the multi-dimensional, other-dimensional, pre-dimensional fucking, you can't even say demigod. It's probably beyond godhood with the power that Shuma-Gorath has.
So,
character that we're
so
hoping
it'd be. So who is Shuma-Gorath then?
Now, chess pass to France.
Cool. I feel like I do like the old school, like.
You have the talking stick now.
Yeah. Shuma-Gorath is an interdimensional entity who is, if you think Thanos had the juice, nah. Shuma-Gorath got the juice. Like, he's like older than,
than Eternals. Reality. Like he's older than reality in Marvel.
So, yes, like he's OD outside the box on anything that you might think about anything.
Is this similar to the like tentacle beings that come out in Hellboy?
Yes, he's Shuma-Gorath was inspired by the Eldritch, like the Eldritch type joints, the HP Lovecraftian.
Okay.
Not the other way around. Shuma-Gorath is inspired
okay.
by.
Well, she mentioned Hellboy, which is after Shuma-Gorath. Right. Okay.
Right, but Hellboy is more direct. That was more direct right. callback. To,
okay.
Yeah.
The Cthulhu.
I see. Okay.
This one's but Shuma-Gorath's inspired by that. But he's a Doctor Strange villain, in that Doctor Strange has to do everything in his bag of tricks to ever thwart anything that Shuma-Gorath does.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Shuma-Gorath only exists in the popular zeitgeist through Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Okay.
And 3.
So, you think in the movie it is Shuma-Gorath, or you're like, I guess maybe no, it's not?
It's Gargantos.
Yeah? I mean,
yeah, they shifted. There's an actress with, an actress named, for the character, like, Did the whatever voice the work they've done?
Yeah. Are you like, sad?
Yeah, because yes. I wanted Shuma-Gorath. Like, I didn't want the look-alike.
Right.
I wanted Shuma-Gorath because he's a sad. We're talking about the multiverse, and he's right.
He's a multiversal
threat. Like Thanos. Damn. Like Fran said, Thanos is a problem with or without the stones. But this Shuma-Gorath is on the level of like a Dormammu, where like you need you would need a stone even to try to fight this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
oh man, and I love Shuma-Gorath in Marvel vs. Capcom.
I think a lot of people
that's
do.
My dude.
He's creepy. He has a weird voice.
I don't know what he does.
He has cool
but, like,
moves.
He kills shapeshifts. People.
I will say this, the upside to having Gargantos as opposed to Shuma-Gorath is that Gargantos is like actually America Chavez, like a nemesis. Like America Chavez and Doctor Strange team up initially in the comics to deal with Gargantos. So.
Okay, so now there's teaming precedent. Up with Scarlet Witch instead, is that what we're saying?
No.
Because America Chavez is in the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well,
we
slightly
could
change,
still get Shuma. Maybe.
I think maybe later. I feel like if it's that big of a villain, like it's got to come in some other time.
Actually, you know what? In retrospect, after the What If, maybe because I thought the moment I saw the first thing, I'm like, oh, that's Shuma-Gorath.
Right.
Wow. Oh my God, they're going off.
They're just trying to put us off the scent. And be like, yeah, it's Gargantos. And then the movie, like, haha, just kidding. It is Shuma-Gorath.
That was suck,
though.
They are famous for lying.
Right?
But that was
right?
suck.
The trailers.
If I'm buying a box of Legos And on the box, it's telling me it's Gargantos.
You're like, what the?
And then I watch the movie, and it's Shuma Garoff. I'm going to be tight.
Forget I'm going to be like, no, I want to set.
Tell me the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't even display that shit.
They don't want the spoilers.
Tell the truth.
All right, well, we'll see, because it comes out. Didn't get moved again? No, it's March. Still coming out. March. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Exciting. I'm really looking forward to that one because that trailer looked really fun. Okay, let's get into our spoiler.
Not it.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, I feel like it's not my turn.
Yeah, it's Francis.
Girl. It's France.
Francis. France.
Do it up.
I kind of want to do the Keanu. Spoiler.
Wait, was that it?
Yeah.
I loved it. Hint of a question mark at the end.
Yeah, I think it was perfect.
Yeah. Makes me want to shoot a pistol clip into the air. That's a point blank reference. At point blank point, range.
Point blank? You mean Point Break?
Point Break reference. Gargantos.
I mean the Gargantos of the Point Break.
Shuma.
On that note, let's get into the Matrix 4. Okay.
Yikes.
So we were talking about kind of at the end of our no spoilers section about Mike kind of said, it's interesting that you thought they were trying to say something. So I kind of want to talk about that. There was a lot of concepts that were thrown at us, I think, at the very beginning, right? Where we have Keanu is working. He's now Mr. Anderson again. He's working at a video game company or whatever, making these Matrix things. And now they're doing, okay, it's time to make like another one. So I thought it was interesting that it was like the machines are using him to find ways to keep everybody in the Matrix, right? Like his thoughts and all that stuff, like, oh, he knows what's going to trap people here better and we can keep trapping him here better. I was like, okay. And then we got into like the writer's room scene where they're like pitching ideas for this next movie or video game or whatever. And I'm like, okay, it's getting meta. And then it, to me, quickly falls apart. Like a bad souffle concaves and I have no idea what the fuck is going on, or what you were actually trying to tell me. Is that how you all felt? Did you resonate with some of those themes coming up and like wished they had seen it through?
Well, I'll speak first because France didn't. I felt like whereas the original trilogy had themes, this movie had memes.
They were just like...
Like, I felt like the original trilogy, all its cinematic flaws that you could point out, or whatever narrative flaws you could point out, I felt like they were still trying to say something over the course of three movies about our relationship with technology.
Technology, reality.
Right, and you know, the parallels between religions, the you know, philosophies and all this other stuff. I thought that the original trilogy was trying to say something about that.
And this one
about perceived was not differences that are actual similarities in the long run. Mm-hmm, that's what I felt was the ultimate message of the original trilogy. This movie didn't build on that. It immediately tried to play on that. And whereas there might have been opportunities to use, like you mentioned, video games.
Right.
At, you know, like interacting with technology as we're doing now as a society. Whereas I feel like there were avenues where if they wanted to build upon the original trilogy, they could have through that.
Yes.
Instead, it immediately turned into, you know, like parody.
Yes.
Memes. Even 1,000%. The post-credit with the cats and... And to me, it felt flat.
Oh my God,
flat.
The cats. I forgot about that.
To me. You know, like, it didn't... The Matrix for better or worse, spawned this questioning of like reality and our experiences with one another and how groups are alienated and accepted or whatever. And at the end of the day, when you sit at the table, Zion, right? But right. This one, if it didn't add to that, I felt like this was an aside, like a meme of what the Matrix was in a very lighthearted way.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah. France.
First of all, real talk, Mike, that's a freaking great assessment. I
Thanks.
I take the Matrix super personal because that's such a deep impact on me.
Yeah, make sense of this.
I'm trying to do this not as me talking, just like talking in my shit, but actually we're hosting a podcast.
You know what? No, talk your shit. We want to know what you think. This is the time.
This is the space. This whole shit
felt like a. Bet, say less. Matrix Resurrections felt like a very angry. Like an angry letter to your ex. I get the feeling because only one of the Wachowskis wrote this, and that's Lana. It's not both of them. And I feel like Lana made me feel like Lana didn't have a good time doing Matrix 2 and 3.
Mm.
That maybe one was this super dope counterculture piece that they did that was fucking fire, that spoke to the things they wanted to speak to.
I feel like he's getting real Bronx on this right now. This is how deep this is going.
Let him.
I know. I'm saying keep it going. It's just like facts. I had a comment.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Fuck your life. I was like, that's what it felt like. It felt like fuck your life.
Yeah. There you go.
I really feel like that they didn't have a good time, and that that's what this was. That this whole thing was just speaking to their experience dealing with the studio. Because I don't think they wanted to make a video game when they made those two games. Was it Enter the Matrix and Path of Neo? I don't think they wanted to do that. But I think the studio was like, we got a chance to make a couple more. Let's do it. And that they did it.
So you don't think they wanted to make Matrix 2 or 3 either? Because I felt like, for me personally, Matrix 3 wasn't my favorite.
No, they did. But there was so much studio involvement that it changed everything. Like, the studio's the reason why... Marcus Chong didn't come back as Tank.
Oh.
Which that's a whole nother rabbit hole. If you Google that, you'll learn some things. Because Marcus Chong went off the rails after that. I was like.
Yeah, literally.
Legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, you could YouTube some things. Oh, like, you'll find some stuff. I was like, but, like, that was the whole, like, the studio involvement. Because he was supposed to be the main character in 2 and 3. Like, there was a whole narrative shift. All these things that they had planned to tell the story the way they wanted to, and they didn't get that. So 4 Resurrections turns into this thing where it's like a huge middle finger to Warner Brothers. Like, you know how tight I was when she was like, my name's Bugs, like the bunny. And I'm like, why are you talking to Warner Brothers? Why are you I'm in the audience. I pay money.
That was the part that made you tight. This is the part that made me tight. When we're sitting there and she's explaining like the crux of the entirety of why Neo needs to come back and like re-get unplugged. And she said like, and then here's a pill. And I was like, what the fuck? Did you just say, I can't even, you spoke so fast. And
it compressed all that expositional dialogue into this moment. And I was like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
And if I'm keeping it 100, if I'm keeping it 1,000,000, I really feel like this thing is like, this is telling me that maybe the Wachowskis didn't know how deep. They're like who?
How much people really felt it and how impacted, took it to heart.
Like by the downtrodden and ostracized would really cling to this to and really under like be felt by it. It made me feel like they didn't appreciate that what they had done.
France was physically hurt.
I mean,
I was tight.
I think that this movie took shortcuts to try to convey those things. Like, there were a lot of things that were done visually, like in the background, you know. You had this whole pill scenario play out on a ripped screen with projections of the previous movies with the mirrors on a stage. Yeah.
But the shortcut was the problem. Matrix. Right, but the shortcut was the problem.
But, But that's the shortcut is an issue. Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I feel like they try to achieve those depth through some visual aids.
Yeah.
But what happens like is that just ended up being noise. The visuals were noise. Yeah.
That's what it was like you said, like memes. It was like all those things that can catch your eye that you're like, ooh, what's that? But then that's it. Like, that's as far as it goes. You can have a moment to be like, I guess that was cool, but what was that?
And Neil Patrick Harris's character, what is he, the analyst? Is he
the analyst, yeah.
Is he the analyst?
Yeah.
You know, he goes into his whole reasoning on why his version of the Matrix is the most successful thus far.
Right.
And how people want to suffer. People want. And I'm like, it didn't hit. It didn't hit anywhere nearly as impactfully as like Agent Smith talking to Morpheus in the chair about how he perceived the Matrix as like a zoo. You know,
that's the thing. We didn't have any of those moments. Like they tried to manufacture those moments, and we never got to any. Because I was telling France the other day, I was like, we never had like a woman in the red dress moment where it was like. Something that's simple, but then, like, when you think about it, you're like, oh my God, my mind is open right now to like possibilities.
The Matrix, especially the original one, like Fran said, a lot of people clung to it. It had these high level concepts, and some people could look at them as, like, you know, conceitedly
too
high or arrogant, whatever.
Right.
But it had these high level concepts in a way that was digestible through very simple, simply presented, but stylish.
Exactly.
Means, you know, like Morpheus is talking to Neo with a white black drop. You don't need more than that.
That's it.
Saying some deep shit about Duracells. You know what I'm saying? Like, this movie didn't achieve that. And just one last thing. This movie, just looking at the original trilogy, and forget about what we're talking about. We're talking about the themes and the narrative and all, just as films. The Matrix series was known for these action pieces that ended up being copied throughout all of entertainment since The Matrix debuted them. Mm-hmm. Bullet Time and other things. They had action set pieces, the highlight possibly being that highway scene, you know, when Trinity is on the bike with the Keymaker.
Right.
Probably the pinnacle action scene of all the Matrix movies.
Right.
This movie had, at no point, there was no action scene in this film that is even as good as the worst action scene in any in the original trilogy.
How do you not have a good fight scene?
There was
never.
Nothing.
Matrix.
And it also didn't make any sense when they did put in action scenes, right? So, like, even the final moments, like, okay, so we have the character, what's his name from Mindhunter, who is now, like, this new Agent Smith who's been trapped, right? He comes out... And I don't even understand what he does at the end where he's just like, okay, like you freed me and then I'm gone. But then randomly we're now in this big fight through the whole city. People are sacrificing themselves to try to... And I'm like, who's controlling this? Why?
I understood that.
I understood it, but it was whack.
I understood it. It was loose. It was wild loose. It was not tied to anything, but that was supposed to be tied to the Merovingian. The Merovingian, all of the... I know, right? That's how wild loose it is.
Stop the madness.
But all the Merovingian's goons are supposed to be, for us, in the real world, as the things that go bump in the night.
Right, the unscrubbed data, the stuff that stuck around when it was supposed to get deleted.
But their manifestation were werewolves, vampires, things like that. This was supposed This was supposed to be a zombies, like zombie swarms. The thing that we are now consuming in pop culture so much.
Right.
Which makes me feel like this got written when Train to Busan came out.
Stop it. That doesn't even make sense for how that transpired, though. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense as a narrative plot, as a plot device, but as a thing, but as a meme, kind of something that here's something people get.
I can't.
It's so fucking condescending.
I'm a zombie because I'm always on my phone.
I'm done.
Bam. Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, I'm like, it is. I felt insulted at that point.
Yeah.
Like Wonder Woman 84, I felt like I was insulted.
I wouldn't say this movie's that bad.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
I mean, like,
but
Wonder Woman
was
probably worse.
But Wonder Woman 84 is the first time I felt insulted as an audience member.
That's the first time you ever felt insulted?
I don't watch it. I think it's going to insult me. that time I went out on a limb and I got
insulted. Wait, okay, so we talked about the Merovingian. I know we gotta go on to Wheel of Time, but the Merovingian part just made me so upset because that character didn't make any sense. So
such a waste.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are we saying, oh, this character's just left over after they tried to scrub everything from the last time? Why are we even talking to him then?
Well, unfortunately, they do explain in the original trilogy the fuck? It's my bell.
Hello?
They explain in the original trilogy about, like, what Francis is referencing, like, certain programs in the Matrix, how once they serve their purpose, they're either deleted or right. They kind of go into this gray area where they become what we in the regular real world associate with, like, the supernatural or something out of place.
But why is he a random guy who lives under a bridge?
But this is my thing. They had opportunity, if they wanted to show that decay. In the original trilogy, we see programs already exhibiting those, you know, the decay part, you know, to the end point where they're just trying to avoid being deleted. They chose to skip 60 years for whatever reason to have an excuse to not have Agent
to
Smith.
To not show me
Hugo Weaving, to not have, you know, Morpheus as
Lawrence Fishburne.
It sorry, I was going to say Giant Man because he's in the Ant-Man series now. and to not have some other characters. They chose to skip 60 years for, I don't know, a reason. And then they go straight to the Merovingian in decay. So we have him in that really elegant setting where he's in command and speaking French and Persephone's on his arm and making threats. And then we have this, like you said, this fucking pigeon man in the park aesthetic that there's no in between. Nothing in this movie gave me any joy or pleasure.
Yeah. Okay, nothing. My last question, because I was thoroughly confused. I don't understand the ending. Are Trinity and Neo now able to control the Matrix? Like, this is our version of the Matrix now, or they can just come and go as they please? Like, how does that help everyone else who's stuck in the Matrix?
It looked very much like, because, you know, we get that reveal that they've been plugged in this whole time and in close proximity physically, so that they are now both been in and they've mastered being in the Matrix and out of the Matrix. So essentially, they're the new agents. The new gatekeepers.
Okay.
And they try to drive that point home by having them finish each other's sentences.
Right.
But why would we need that?
We didn't need this movie.
It's less about a bang, bing,
we didn't need any
bong.
Of this movie. Like, if you're not going to build on a trilogy and you're not going to go hard in the paint enough to make a statement that even approaches the depth that the original trilogy was aiming for... Then what are you doing? That's why this feels
so
like a commercial, a meme, a pitch.
Yes. There's so many things it could have done. That's what's upsetting about it. Like, the age we're in today and the Matrix. Oh, my God. There's so many things.
You're right.
There was so much powerful potential in the moment, and that's what's most disappointing. But that's the ending is where it becomes most clear that they were trying, with that Lana Wachowski in particular, is trying to say, they're trying to say something. And it was about giving everything that Neo got to Trinity.
Right.
So that they both had it.
Right.
And it was like, cool.
Sorry, I don't know. I can't tell if somebody's outside my door.
But that's more.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
That's more in alignment with the Wachowskis, you know, trans identity.
Right.
And trying to address the gender binary and making sure that everybody gets their...
I didn't get that. I didn't get... And you know what's funny? The idea...
It completes the circle.
Yeah.
It just completes the circle.
I know, but the idea of gender binary and all that stuff, it's funny because Wheel of Time is supposed to be that too.
Oh.
Right. Based on the source material, but I don't feel like the show is conveying that, but we'll get to that. This Matrix movie, you know, at the very least, you could have given me an action moment, a fight scene, something that was like, all right, this belongs on par. None of this was worth it. I mean, I was happy to see that Keanu looked happy and Carrie Ann Moss looked happy and Yaya looked fucking ecstatic.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was gone.
Yeah, exactly. I could tell that the actors were really happy to be in the
Matrix. To be a part of it.
And
they're
if
like,
you
just
do
to be
the
nominated.
Research, yeah, and if you do the research and look up the actress that played Bugs, who was also calling Jessica Wing. Hedwig. Yeah, she was calling Wing in the Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
Go look at why she took this role over another role that was offered to her in Shang-Chi. You know, that's a good backstory thing. You know?
I forgot about that.
So all these actors were really happy to be associated with Matrix, but this was like the safest fucking pamphlet version of the Matrix you could ever put on screen.
I know we got to move on, but this is the thing that kind of ties it home for me. One, the Venus Limited company that produced this is a Wachowski company, which tell me that they paid for a lot of this out of pocket.
Cool.
And then the other side of that is this was really about supporting people who supported the Wachowskis. So the whole cast of Sense8 is in it almost.
Mm.
In prominent roles.
Right, it was like,
oh.
Yeah. I mean, really they really all trying down to say for that. Like, but I think Sense8 was better.
There's like, a lot of things better than this shit.
Yeah.
I'll just go watch Sense8.
There's a lot of things better than this shit.
All right, we do have to move on. The Wheel of Time. Wheel of Time. Let's talk about it.
Like, was that like Wheel of Fortune?
It was. Yeah. I think that's what she was going for.
It was.
Let it rock. Let it rock. That was enthusiasm.
What? You don't like Wheel of Fortune?
Big money.
No, my niece applied to be on it. I hope she gets it. Tina.
I didn't know Wheel of Fortune still happened. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's never going to die.
Vanna White is still alive.
What?
Vanna White.
But she doesn't do the show anymore. Wouldn't that be funny?
Who says she didn't do the show anymore?
Stop it.
I didn't say that.
Stop it. Anyways, okay. Back on track. Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
A.K.A. The Avatar. A.K.A. Game of Thrones.
The Avatar.
A.K.A. Harry Potter. Okay, so we have these characters who the idea of reincarnation is very real, and this really powerful character is about to be reborn. The Dragon Reborn has been reborn, actually, and they're trying to find him, right? When, again, this is spoilers, so people be prepared. It is sort of revealed that Rand, the redhead who is traveling with them, is the Dragon Reborn. Do you actually believe that?
Yeah.
Or do you think it still is involved with all four or five of them? Five of them?
I think it's him, but just because he's the dragon, it doesn't mean that the dragon does shit or gets shit done alone. As the finale showed, the original, the first dragon,
right,
was starting off asking for help from the Aes Sedai. He was asking for them for help so that they could seal the Dark One. And Aes Sedai said no, because they'd rather destroy the Dark One.
So is that what it was? They'd rather destroy him?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
okay.
The dragon starts off looking for allies to help him seal the Dark One. So in our, you know, with Ran.
Right.
Their fates are all tied because, you know, they're all going to have roles to play. But I think he's the Dragon Reborn and he'll ultimately carry that moniker. But he's not going to be doing ultimately what it's going to take to defeat the Dark One alone.
That's interesting because I literally was like, it's not just him. It's not him. The Dark One is not vanquished or whatever you want to call it in this world. And like he needs those other ones to actually do anything of... like to completion.
France wants to say something, but you let me know if you want me to talk about what I learned from book spoilers too. But
ooh, well, okay.
Oh, not. Well, first of all, yeah, I seen Rand's mom's. Yeah, he the dragon.
That was a cool scene.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the arguably one of the cooler action scenes. There's that had more action than any Matrix ever had. correction.
Don't bring us back
any moments
there.
In
okay.
Matrix Resurrections
Thank
ever
you.
Had.
I was about
let
to
be
say.
Clear.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be very,
don't,
very
don't
clear.
Take us back there, Ricky Bobby.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, if that scene is indicative of anything, that scene plus his pop, like, yeah, your man's a dragon. It's sure
yeah,
good. My man Bruce Bolton was out here.
But like.
Catching bodies.
I just feel like that's such a CW answer.
Book,
I can't.
Book spoilers?
He's
book
like,
spoilers?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay, yeah, please.
So one of the things that people got pissed off on that read the
book. Oh, spoilers on the book, people.
Yeah, yeah, but they're
if
old,
you're planning
so
to
go fucking
read
them. So, Aisha, you're talking about how that seems so C-dub that the white kid is the chosen
one. And like, he's not even the strongest. He's all like whiny, like, yeah, I love you, Egwene.
Yeah, be careful where he's not the strongest. Here's the thing.
Nynaeve
can channel a lot of the source. That doesn't make her the strongest, though. Because, like with Avatar and other things, yeah, you could be a powerful bender, but can you fight hand-to-hand? Can you wield weapons? Like, there's different branches, like Naruto, there's different branches of discipline. She does one thing really well. She does one thing extremely well. But there are other things that he does that none of the other ones can do, too. But anyway, I was rooting for him not to be the one either, the dragon. That being said, could have been worse, or depending on your point of view. Because in the books, he's the one that goes and faces that character that we saw in that whole time loop dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that teleports. Blight. He ends up teleporting to the battlefield and takes out all those enemies storming the city. It's him that single-handedly takes them out. And I believe also he's the one that walks away with that horn in the white box that the merchant dude walks with. So in the books, in the first book, they make it abundantly clear he's the dragon because they have him doing a lot to solidify.
Right. We got to build up to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The show, as you can tell, split up.
More about mystery.
No. They split those roles up. They had the
other people did things.
Yeah, other people did things. And to some people's opinion, to the detriment of the story, they did things that made no sense. Like, what's
that
the name?
That is an interesting choice.
Yeah, like, because they had the guy, the blacksmith wolf guy. I forget the names. There's a lot of characters.
I love him.
He didn't do anything this episode. He just watched people get stabbed. He didn't do anything.
He was like, I want to be helpful. And they're like, break open this, like, floor with us.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. Some demo. Yeah, he did nothing. So, cool for him.
I was like, call the fucking wolves, yo.
Then they had Nynaeve, like, burn out, which is a thing in the books. Like, if you burn out, like, that, you're dead.
Right. But then this girl brings her back.
But then the girl who, according to the books, has no healing abilities whatsoever, brings her back. It would have been cooler if they would have just had Nynaeve bring herself back, since she's already shown
to
be a really good healer.
Like, she's burning out, and then she screams, like, and then, like, comes
and
back.
If she would have brought herself back from that state, I think that would have just added to what they tried to establish with her and her ability to channel earlier.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So,
I'm about this.
Yeah. Mike wrote the book.
I didn't. Mike I just did research. Book. I didn't. And then Lan, who Al calls Kakashi, he's the ward for Gone Girl.
Uh-huh.
The fact that Nynaeve tells him off screen how she was able to track Gone Girl.
Right.
A lot of people felt, and I did, that's one of those moments where I felt like they sacrificed the narrative to just give an unnecessary bump to another character. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right, like she got a gold coin. It was like...
Yeah, it was no point in it because he's a ward for more than 20 years. Right. His literal job is to be able to do that, is to track and know where his fucking Aes Sedai companion is. So for her to say that she knows how to track better than him, wow.
Or even,
but then they do
like,
it off screen, so then it falls flat. It's like...
Or even didn't know they were being tracked. Like, I feel like he would
I let that go because, you know, at least they fell in love and they banged. I let that go.
But they did.
She didn't need that.
I mean, are they also kind of hinting at the fact that she might become an Aes Sedai and then he would also be her ward? Because I feel like, you know, what's her name? I don't know. Gone Girl. She was like,
her
she
name
kept
is
trying
Moraine.
To. Moraine.
Moraine.
She kept trying to like distance herself from this ward guy, like, God, I see all the pain that there is between people when they die. And I think maybe she was convinced she was going to die. I don't know. But like, she said to him, like, oh, I like her or whatever. Like, she knows that he and her have this thing.
She tried to push him towards,
Is that because she's in love with the head lady, the white gem of the crystal gems?
The ambulance seat. Yeah, I don't think it has to do with that. I don't think it has the
also,
ward.
What is that
the
about?
Ward relationship with the Aes Sedai that they it has nothing to do with like romantic love. It's intimate.
True.
But it has nothing to do with romantic love. So no, I don't think that's true.
It's platonic intimacy.
Oh, so can warts go get like married if they want? I don't know if marriage exists in this world. Those two guys
were together.
That don't mean they married.
Those two warts were together.
I don't mean they married.
No, if they're married.
No, I'm saying
common law though.
No, no, I'm saying like let's say this ward dude with Maureen is like, I want to marry this girl. Like not like she's not even an Aes Sedai. Like I just want to marry her.
Right.
Like he could, right?
Nah. Quiet for that.
I don't know.
This is an open ward Aes Sedai situation.
A polyamorous, a polywardimus. Maybe they split custody, you know, like Monday through Thursday, he's with Moraine. Right, he's and then on the weekends, he's with Nynaeve.
Right, Nynaeve.
Yeah, mm-hmm, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know.
Well, do you think, because, you know, you talked about how there's like a million books. 16. Do you think that this is going to continue with a million seasons? Like it's going to just keep going?
No, they said they want to aim for 10.
10 seasons? Good Lord. Okay.
You know, what Game of Thrones should have been at minimum.
I know. Yo, but they literally could not be creative enough to keep that story going without the books. Well, they could not.
Then they should have done the right thing and pass it on to other showrunners. I don't know why HBO played that card.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Or the fact that they left mad shit out that could have filled up seasons.
Of course. Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But, okay, so last question. At the end, we see all these ships coming in and people we've never seen before.
Yes.
What the hell was that? Because I kind of felt like the finale episode left me, not even just like wanting, just like a little confused. I was like, so did we destroy him? And who are these people?
Do you know who they were?
It sounds like a job for book spoilers.
It is a book spoiler. But first, I want to get your impression of them. Can we get them? Before I go book spoiler with it and people's reactions online, what were your impressions of that scene?
It looked to me like there are other channelers. There's like, so not just Aes Sedai, but some more people out here in the world who have a whole different, you know, like theological view on channeling, or not even theological. They just like, we do it like this and we catch bodies with it.
Right.
Get down and lay down. Because that's what it looked like, because it came through with the tsunami real quick. Yeah, I was like, hoo-hoo!
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my take on it.
He was saying. He was saying that it was like, he was saying it's like, oh, what we saw is only one small portion of the world.
Right.
So there's got to be other parts of the world where this is going on. But do they know about like the Dark One, or is that just, hey, that just happened here?
That's you see, that's really interesting. That's why I wore the bleach stuff, because... With Bleach, when you watch Bleach, you're like, oh, shit, this is the afterlife. No, I'm serious. I'm going to bring it back. And when you watch Bleach or read Bleach, because the final season is going to finally be animated after 10 years, starting this October, 2022. When you finish the narrative of Bleach, you're like, wow, that was a crazy telling of what the afterlife is like. But then motherfucker throws Burn the Witch at you, and what you learn is, nah, man, that was afterlife Asia. There's afterlife Europe. There's afterlife.
So it's Westworld now. That's what you're telling me?
Yes.
It's Westworld?
Yes. So with this, absolutely. That's a cool thing. They introduced these whole group of channelers.
France's mind is blown about Bleach,
They introduced all these motherfucking channelers. And you're like, yo, do they believe in the Dark One? Do they have an amulet seat of their own? Like, what's up with that? Right. Since the source is something being tapped in outside of what we've already been introduced to. Now here's the book spoiler.
That's why there's 10 seasons.
Right. Now here's the book spoiler. So I forgot the name of who this group is supposed to be, but they are Fire Nation with it. You know what I'm saying? In terms of they're going to fuck shit up. But here's where people got pissed off. They were like, that group, and this made me intrigued to learn more about them. That group would never do what they were doing in this scene, which is using all that power to seemingly kill one innocent girl, or to, you know what I'm saying? Like they're powerful and they'll Fire Nation shit, but they would not do something like that. Like, in other words, cruelty for the sake of cruelty or power for the sake of an entrance. So I was like, So they're that type of group. Like, they're channelers, they're powerful, they're probably bad on that spectrum. But to do something like that, like the cruelty and the overkill and that imagery of that one girl looking up at what's going to be her death, they were like, yeah, that's not what that group is about. So I was like,
Although I wonder if that is just, oh, no, we're going to take out this whole town.
Again,
she just so happened to be on the beach, but that's what they showed. What they showed us is just one girl.
You're right. But the imagery,
which leans,
there was like, it belies. That leads to
what you're saying. Yeah.
Basically, they're saying they're more Zuko than Azula. You know, that's what they're saying. It seems, you know, like, yeah, they'll get, they'll burn some shit, but they won't be so, you know, like, they won't nuke a beach. They won't nuke a beach just because they can. And some people were insulted by the imagery because they were like, this group, they emphasized the fact, and I didn't go farther into it because I want to learn more about the show. They were like, the fact that it was a girl that seemingly was getting the brunt.
Was on the beach.
Yeah, so I'm you know, like maybe the way that they elevate women in their culture, their society, their beliefs is a little different than the way that the Aes Sedai do and people in this part of the world that we've been introduced to.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Okay. I mean, I'll keep watching it, see what happens.
Better.
I mean, if it keeps happening. Amazon doesn't seem to give up, so.
Friends, you can tell me off camera why, though, you were having a moment when I was...
I think you spoiled something for Bleach for him.
It was Bleach. It was that idea. The fact that that could be explored, that just blew my whole mind, bro.
Uh-oh. Catch that on our side podcast called Two Nerds in Anime.
Don't make us do it. Don't make us do that. Because we can.
I'll just be a person with the cup in the background, like in that one.
That Midoriya.
The cup upside down.
They're like Boruto.
You'll be the Troy and Abed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, right. We should make a little teardrop for Aisha that just so you could put it on her head in real life. Boink.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, Kwang.
And now we're racist.
When were we not racist? That's the question.
That's the title.
Never.
That's the title right there.
When were we not racist? All right, let's get into some trailers.
Okay.
Trailers. I feel like the trailers are a little like meh as well, but. Anyway, it's a 13 episode. Let's do it. All right, our first trailer is the new Fantastic Beasts movie. It is called The Secrets of Dumbledore, and we get a lot of action sequences. We get funny stuff.
Are we allowed to enunciate that properly for the Dumbledore community? Like, there's a lot of S's in there. You know what I'm saying?
Secrets.
Dumbledore. A little bit of to it, you know what I mean? Not just secrets.
I'm not a Slytherin house, so I can't.
France gets it. France gets where I'm coming from.
It's the secrets of Dumbledore.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, because if there's not like a raw butt ass sex scene with him and Mads Mikkelsen in this, then what is the point of recasting Johnny?
Oh my god, that is so cute.
If there is not a bookshelf shattering.
They better.
Fox but let's screaming be in the background to be released.
No. JK is writing this, okay? She wrote the other ones.
I don't know if she wrote this one.
Ooh. I mean, I don't think she should write movies.
Excluded her from her own 20th anniversary special.
Oh my god. Wait, did you watch that where she was in her own?
But I heard they talked around her a lot.
Yeah, she's in her own room, just black. Everyone else is in rooms together.
Nobody fucks hugging.
She's alone, and you only see her a few times. Black background. We're like, oh, she is in the middle of... No, she's in space. They black bagged her and sent her to an area to do an interview.
Let me be clear. I'm not accusing her of being a criminal. But it's interesting. She is like the white R. Kelly. Like, we want to embrace the art.
Right. But we
completely cast away the artist.
Right. We can't speak of her, but I love Harry Potter.
Right. She became,
J.K. Rowling wrote the screenplay.
She did?
She wants seven of these.
A 12th Dumbledore reveal.
Oh my God. So, I mean, yeah, it doesn't look exciting, I'll be honest.
No, like, it doesn't.
Effects are cool. They've been cool since, like, the beginning one. You're like, oh wow, this is like grown up magic. This is fun. But the story doesn't make any sense. This isn't telling me that it's going to make more sense. And I don't know. They recasted Johnny Depp, so I'm upset.
Like I said, if there's not a like a 14 minute long, you know.
14 minute long.
I know what I said. Like, I want that. If they're not just going to womp Willows.
You womp Willows.
If they're not going to do that, then what was the point? You can't put the sexual nuclear chemistry of Mads Mikkelsen and Jude Law in a room.
Yeah.
When we know those two characters fall in love and secretly.
Yeah.
You can't have them on screen.
Well, there's a statement. There's a statement in acting, right? When you present a gun, you have to use it.
Yeah, they better whip their guns out. Might as well.
That's what I'm saying. They presented two guns.
And shoot them.
So.
I want to see Agent Smith and Neo in the train station with the guns.
In Fantastic Beasts?
Yes.
I mean, I want to know about Fantastic Beast all along was just an allusion to their wands.
Oh,
my
God.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Their penises. Yeah.
Their penises.
Yeah, the penises.
Just to be clear.
Case.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be seven of these probably because, honestly, JK has so much money. I think she can do whatever she wants.
The last four will be able to go straight to Showtime.
Showtime.
Here we go.
Stars. No.
Yeah, Star Show's ass.
50 Cent.
Yeah.
Star Show's ass.
It's funny, right? She became Voldemort because we don't even mention her.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They did keep calling her another name in the 20th anniversary.
They call her by her first name, Joe.
Joe, yeah.
They're like, what Joe wanted. I was like, who the hell is Joe?
Oh, you know.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to our next trailer, which is another The Batman trailer. So I'll be honest. You were like, a new one's come out. And I was like, I don't fucking care. There's been so many freaking trailers for this movie, and it's been pushed like 8 years. I'm like, you might as well just show me clips of the movie by now. Like, you're gonna little by little just show me the movie, and then I don't have to go see it.
They do. In this one, they do.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they go pretty far.
These trailers have names, right? This one's called Cat in the Bat. Bat in the Cat. What? Like,
yeah, Cat in the Hat. Bat.
Come on.
Cat. Bat.
This, you're going too far.
Ah.
I mean, that's just a rehash on the, you know, the Batman Returns. Which was the Bat, the Cat, the Penguin.
What I'm saying is, this isn't like teaser, trailer. This is trailer number 5 named Cat Bat, Bat Cat, whatever. Like,
it's just the movie. I'm going to stop you. Okay?
Yeah, in its defense, it's trailer number 2.
It's official trailer number 2. It was delayed once because of fucking COVID.
I'm rolling
But other
my
than
eyes.
That, I think I'm allowed to be excited for a Batman movie. Like, it's Batman. It's Batman. He? Yeah.
They never done one of those before.
No, but this is like a young... Listen. All due respect to anyone else who's been Batman on screen. Okay?
Facts.
Robert Pattinson is the youngest Batman and presumably, based on what we're seeing in this, the most athletic and I'ma get shit done Batman.
He did have some good fighting sequences.
And the movie's trying to be 7, which means it's going to be a head fuck. Like one of the old, you know,
the movie 7. I was like, there's going to be 7 of these?
No.
He did. I think it was a way more interesting trailer than the other ones. And I can't say I'm excited to see it. You can get Batman fatigue, and that might be where I'm at since our last Batman was Ben Affleck. So it's hard to get excited. That's what I'm saying.
But in this one, he's with Zoe, and he's excited to get hard.
I see.
I think
but
Ben
he
Affleck,
also calls her Selina.
Yeah, it's a
in
name.
The trailer.
Mm. It's a name.
I know, but like that means he knows her.
She's a known thief, usually. It's very rare that she ain't known. She's a fugitive. Yeah. Like, she's always.
Does she know who he is?
Probably.
Well, it looks like they give away so much in the trailer. They give away.
She's like, if I saw Batman without a shirt on, I know who the fuck that is.
Look at those pink nipples. I know who that is.
Get your ass over here, Batman. Notice those balls from across the room.
But they give away so much in this trailer about what the core conflicts are. So hopefully they still deliver.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Ben Affleck gets a bad rap. He was in bad movies.
He was in bad movies.
When he was Batmaning, it looked pretty cool.
I think he was more like, I don't want to say he was more Bruce Wayne-ing because he wasn't even really doing that. He was okay.
He was Ben Afflecking.
If he was old man Batman, I'd be down, honestly. I think he'd be great.
We've like had bitter, too many old man Batman. That's my point. We finally got a Batman like kind of in his physical prime.
I mean, like old man, like Batman Beyond. But he's teaching the
Michael
new guy.
Michael Keaton in the Flashpoint.
That's Flashpoint.
Guys, yeah. I can't do this.
Just say you hate Batman.
Much. I don't be hate done with Batman, it. Batman, okay? Batman animated series is like a national treasure.
You skirting.
I hate Batman.
You hedging.
Anyways.
You edging.
I said like hedging, not edging.
Oh, I thought you said she a Batman edgelord. I was like, damn.
That's not what I even said.
That's intense. Okay.
A Batman edgelord.
That's a lot. That's
with
a
the
lot.
Voice?
You come when I tell you to.
Anyways.
When you've earned
swear
it.
To me.
Talking about superheroes. We're always talking about superheroes. But the best ones, Dubois.
Dubois.
They're not even superheroes. Dubois. I don't know what they are. Dubois. Dubois. Season 3. So there was a teaser that came out like today, I think it was.
Yeah.
It'd have been in the last few days, yeah.
Right. And I literally thought it was fake. I thought it was fake. I thought it was like fan driven. Because, you know, people do that. They're like, I want this so bad. Here's a fake trailer. And you're like, oh my God, this is so dope. And you're like, damn it. Some SVA student.
Got the SVA?
With an iPad.
Yeah, exactly. No, this was a real trailer where we literally see, what's his name?
Homelander.
Well, I was about to say Homemaker. It is late. Anyways, Homelander. He's getting pictures taken of him, and his eye is freaking twitching. It's like, and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then this lady, the freaking, like, production manager lady, the assistant who's now in charge, she looks like, oh my God, he's gonna like laser my head off.
Zappify.
He's gonna, he's gonna laser us all.
Yeah.
She's like, run.
I love that.
Yeah. And then we get a very interesting commercial with the deep.
The depth.
Yo, I was old.
The depth. What is the drink? Deep? The it's name the of the drink
that liquid. Liquid Death. It's liquid a real death. It's a real drink. I've seen it in the supermarket before.
Stop it. No, it's not.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say, producer brain, that is the smartest thing that Amazon has done. To be
Let's
like,
not give Amazon credit. Let's give the boys credit.
You're right. That is the smartest thing that the producers and ad sales did for the boys.
The boys, yeah.
Because that... I never would have believed that was a real drink. They're like, give us money, we'll put it on the boys. And they're like, here's all the money we have.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the boys. The show returns in June, which is a long ways off.
Oh, that's far.
And it's only 8 episodes.
That's why it was a teaser.
Only 8 episodes.
They better be an hour and a half. London style. Can't give me 8 episodes
right,
and not be like a
Sherlock.
Movie.
BBC.
Exactly. Each episode is a movie. Thank you.
Three and a half hour Watson and Sherlock shenanigans.
They're like, there's only 3 episodes.
But they're each 6 days long.
Yeah. Just like cricket.
6 days in hell.
But
France.
I mean, very exciting.
Respect the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, nah, I'm referencing an HBO movie.
That was 7 days in hell.
Well,
13 days that's in hell all is what this has been.
13 day. I know. We didn't review the most awesomest things. And I realized we didn't talk about Witcher.
Oh, I knew that. I just didn't. Oh. I was like, all right. Because
we losing.
We lose. We could bonus. We could do that. A special. Could. Yeah, let's do a bonus Witcher. I'd be excited to do that. Because yeah. We can't not talk about Yennefer. Yennefer.
Wild Dominican.
All right, so catch She's us on our bonus Dominican. Episode. She is Dominican. Her name is Yennefer.
No, she stop. There has to.
I dead ass.
I don't have a type. I don't Yennefer? Have a type.
Yennefer Belkilis.
She's just rubbing vapor Yennefer rub Amanzara. On everybody. Yennefer What's the matter, Amanzara sir? You got a Belkilis. Headache? Toma, un vaporu.
Viaporu.
Viaporu. See? And then she just taps into the chaos. Is it?
All I'm saying is.
In Washington Heights.
A mean, like, bachata, we'll know what it is.
Facts.
We will know.
Let's find this actress's real name. We'll know.
It ain't. She's not Dominican.
She's not Dominican.
I'm telling you that right now. I did the research. I know she's not Dominican.
She's not Dominican. All right. Well, catch us next time when we do a bonus episode of The Witcher. But other than that, this is it, y'all. Season 5. That's a wrap.
Season 5.
Thanks for sticking around. We're going to just like do a batch release of like 5 episodes next week. So
bundle.
I hope you get all the notifications. It's like bling, 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 bling. Was that exactly 5 bring? We're good on that.
We can go back, check, and post.
We'll check and post. Well, thanks everyone for listening. As always, like, share, subscribe, and now rate, because that's important, apparently. So don't forget to rate us. Give us 5 stars. I don't know how many stars there are. However many stars there are, give us
the amount of stars you know we deserve.
Yeah, that's fair. He's being nice.
Toss your podcast a coin. I mean,
yeah. 5 of them.
You know what we never say too? If you have a podcast, invite us on your podcast.
Virtually.
That would be fun. Yeah, virtually, of course. Amarion's out here.
Let us come rock your worlds.
All right, I guess we'll see you next season. Season 6, where we'll have our 100th episode.
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
It's going to be a crazy party, y'all. Thanks for the good times.